They're cranky to the squeaking bit.
Ready?
Proceeds, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry McCulloch. I'm the Commissioner of Designee for the department. I might point out to the committee, it's been a whirlwind tour for me. I came into state service 2 years ago as Director for the Office of Enterprise, which subsequently was consolidated into the Division of Business Development. And then from there became the Acting Deputy Commissioner for about 2 weeks, and then the Acting Commissioner for 3 months. And it's been a little over a month now that I've been the Commissioner of Designee, so hopefully I'll become the Commissioner soon. I don't know how you want to proceed, Mr. Chairman. I thought what I'd do is use the budget format presentation that we used before the House Committee, Finance Committee, if that's okay, give an overview. And I'll try to do it as quickly as possible in order to give the committee, joint committees, as much opportunity to ask questions as possible. I know there are a lot of issues that we're dealing with. First of all, in terms of the department's overall role, we're composed of 8 line divisions and 9 independent agencies that are governed by various boards and commissions. And in the Commissioner's office, we sit on some 19 different boards and councils that probably touches every aspect of the state in terms of business and commerce. And the department's primary goal is to promote an active and healthy and expanding business community. And we do that in 3 major areas. One is consumer protection, regulation of business, and economic development. And the various, and on the consumer protection side, we've got the banking, Division of Banking, Division of Insurance, Measurement and Standards, Division of Occupational Licensing, the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and the Railroad Corporation. And on the economic development side of the department, we've got the Division of Business Development, Division of Investments, Division of Tourism, and the Tourism Marketing Council, which is a new component added last year, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, Alaska Power Authority, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, Alaska State Building Authority, and the Alaska Housing Marketing Council. And I might refer the joint committees to page 5, which is the organizational chart of the department. And very quickly, since this is over, I'd like to just review, maybe in one sentence or so, what each of the particular agencies' main mandates are. In the Division of Banking, Securities, and Corporations, those are 3 essentially autonomous operating sub-agencies. In banking, they regulate the state chartered financial institutions to ensure stability and confidence in the system. And in securities, that division administers and enforces the state securities laws, including licensing of broker-dealers and investment advisors, etc. In corporations, they administer the laws that relate to the formation and filing of corporations and associations. The Division of Insurance licenses approximately 4,500 individuals and about 1,000 companies, insurance companies, that are marketing insurance in the state. The Division of Measurement and Standards has 4 components in it, and that deals with weights and measures, size and weight enforcement program, the oversized and overweight permit program, and the air carrier program. Division of Occupational Licensing, they license over 26,000 individuals and 29 occupations. They also provide staff support to some 21 boards and commissions, and they establish minimum levels of entry qualifications into those various professions. They deal with such things as developing examinations, discipline, licensees, if there are violations. They've responded to over 1,000 complaints over this last year. And last year also, there was a new addition to the division, that's the business licensing section. And are now in the process of licensing some 50,000 businesses. The Alaska Public Utilities Commission regulates the public utilities by certifying qualified providers of public utility and pipeline services. The Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, it's an independent quasi-judicial agency that's composed of three members that are appointed by the governor. And they regulate the drilling, producing, plugging, and spacing of oil and gas wells, and disposal of drilling waste and the like. Alaska Railroad Corporation owns and manages the Alaska Railroad. On the economic development side, the Division of Business Development has four components in it. They deal with commercial fishing development, minerals, timber, small business, and economic development in general. It provides staff support, for example, to the Governor's Fishery Cabinet, the Alaska Minerals Commission. It publishes reports on each of these various industry sectors. And I might point out that they also administer the Small Business Assistance Program for the state. And a new program which is going to be launched called the Alaska Regional Development Organization Program, which was passed in legislation last year through Senator Sturgeon Whiskey. The Capital Matching Grant Program, which provides matching funds to local communities and nonprofits, primarily to implement economic development programs in the state. And this program has existed for 8 years. It's leveraged state funds on an average of about 3-1. On top of that, that division administers the Alaska Product Preference Program and the BioAlaska Campaign. The Division of Investments are to promote economic development through direct state lending within those industries that are not adequately serviced by the private sector. Division of Tourism, they're to stimulate the economic growth and development of the tourism industry, increasing employment opportunities for the citizens of the state. And they've recently been involved in an overseas marketing effort in Japan and West Germany. They're involved in international tourism, special projects promotion, such as the Hatcher Pass Ski Resort Development Project and the South Canal Park Project. They also provide technical assistance and matching grants. The Tourism Marketing Council is a public corporation that was formed last year to focus primarily on generic promotion of domestic tourism. And they do that through development of promotional materials, media advertising, publicity, public relations, etc. And they also do research, which is called segmentation research, which is conducted to identify the size and competition of the various components of the market and how it's what is consistent. AIDA, or the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, provides various means of financing for industrial manufacturing and other business enterprises, and they do that primarily through providing reasonable cost of capital for Alaskan enterprises. And a lot of their time in this last year has been spent trying to protect their assets, mainly due to bank failures and foreclosed properties. Alaska Power Authority, it's a public corporation that provides means for constructing, acquiring, financing, operating power projects. And their goal is to achieve the lowest reasonable consumer power costs that are possible. They also provide technical assistance and market rate financing. NASMEAT, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, generically promotes all species of fish in the state and works to improve seafood quality to enhance the profitability and growth of this industry. And this year, they're particularly concerned about a nationwide campaign which may be directed towards fish contamination, which may affect the sale of Alaskan fish. ASBA, the Alaska State Billing Authority, is a public corporation, and their main goal is to undertake slum clearance, provide low-cost housing, and provide financing, construction, and acquisition of public buildings to lease to the state. The Alaska Housing Market Council coordinates all the agencies in the state in terms of development of policies and programs that affect the housing market, advises the governor and the legislature with regard to these policies, housing market trends, and problem areas and policy options. So that essentially runs through the basic functions of all those organizations. In terms of the funding history of the department, the budget has increased over the past 3 years, but it reflects a 4% increase in general funds and a concurrent decline of positions from 426 to 418. And most of the increases are due primarily to formula-funded programs, federal funds, and the program receipt funded functions of the department. There have been some organizational changes. Most of them have been to increase organizational efficiency, decrease overhead. And those include the Real Estate Commission, which was transferred to the Division of Occupational Licensing. Investments, accounting, and collections were combined into the Division of Investments, the Office of Enterprise, Commercial Fisher Development, Division of Minerals and Forest Products all have been combined into the Division of Business Development. And the Division of Tourism, BRU, has been split into two components, the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council and the Division of Tourism. And also, of course, in the last 2 years, we've added the Housing Market Council, BRU, to the department, and also transferred the business licensing function from the Department of Revenue to our department. In terms of the FY90 budget request, that itself represents a 2.2% increase over the FY89 budget, and that primarily is due to federal receipts. The general fund has actually decreased due to power cost equalization reduction, and this budget proposal adds a net of 7 positions to the budget. And you might, the committees might refer to page 8, which details out the operating budget summary for the department. And also on page 9, what I'd like to highlight for the joint committees is the increments which are being proposed for the 6 agencies. And you can see that on page 9 of the summary. The first one deals with the Division of Insurance, which is $357,000 of program receipt funds, which includes 3 positions. And that actually reflects an increase, a request for an increase of authority to collect program receipts. Occupational Licensing of $336,000 of program receipt funds, reflecting 6.5 positions. And that's to increase their authority to spend program receipts. Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute of $2 million. Those are federal funds which do not require any additional state match, and that is to continue their efforts, promotional efforts with regard to frozen salmon in Western Europe and in Japan, and also a new program for canned salmon in the United Kingdom. In business development, $150,000, and that's that proposed increment is to deal with the proper implementation of the product preference legislation, which was passed last year, mainly to give, and that particular program is aimed at giving Alaskan producers and manufacturers preference in bidding for state contracts. The Oil and Gas Commission of $20,000, that reflects an increased assessment by the Interstate Oil and Gas Conservation or Compact Commission. The Alaska Public Utilities Commission of $400,000, and that's a funding source change only. Running very quickly through the capital budget request, it's a total about $2.5 million. And it has five components, three of which are with the Alaska Power Authority. The first one, dealing with bottom fish, about $85,000, we're finding that communities throughout the state are now struggling with diminishing state revenues to find ways to finance their infrastructure related to bottom fishing in order to take advantage of shore support activities. And this particular increment would provide technical assistance to these communities in packaging innovative ways of financing infrastructure. The capital matching grant program I mentioned earlier of $800,000, that program has gone on for 8 years. This does not reflect a change of the level of funding for this program from last year, and our average match ratio has been 3-1. That is leveraging three non-state dollars with one state dollar. Then the last three deals with APA's increments, the power cost equalization efficiency improvements of $750,000, rural technical assistance of $750,000, and the Neposkiok electric system of $65,000. Running very quickly on the legislation, the governor has introduced eight bills and two executive orders. And out of those eight bills, five of them, I believe, are in the purview of the House, at this point, in House Labor and Commerce. And that includes HB 55, which deals with oil and gas and improves the underground injection control program for Class II wells. HB 96, which extends Board of Veterinary Examiners. HB 122, Alaska State Building Authority, changes the name of the authority back to Alaska State Housing Authority, and also gives that particular legislation deals with increased authority to transfer land, buildings, land and buildings back to the state to less than market value. So it allows the authority to get into mental health plans. HB 123, that probably is, besides the sunset legislation, the priority of the department, and essentially it changes the authority's emphasis from financing commercial real estate to financing infrastructure and resource development projects, so that the authority will now focus on those things that are strength ups the strength of the economy. The two executive orders, Executive Order 74, transfers gains of skill and chance to the department from the Department of Revenue. Executive Order 75 changes the name of the Alaska Power Authority to the Alaska Energy Authority, and it consolidates the energy loan programs in APA, that is the bulk fuel program and the power development revolving loan program. And I'd like to note for the joint committees that there will be budget amendments that will be coming in on these two executive orders, which reflect the cost for those two particular programs. We don't have that at this point.
The savings?
they savings? I don't know. I think that when we finish the evaluation of it, there's currently negotiations, for example, taking place between Department of Revenue and our department on the cost of getting the skill and chance, including the number of positions to implement. It is a direct transfer simply because the Department of Revenue had some additional staff that they were allocating to this that are not being transferred. And there are also five additional bills that are scheduled for introduction on February 3rd, and three of those five bills are within the purview of the Labor and Commerce Committees. One would be an amendment to the banking statute, which replaces the $7,500 limit for bank examinations to fees that are based on the size of the bank's assets. And the other is an APA project fund, which eliminates the need for general fund support for power projects by converting to a revolving loan fund. And the last one is extends the barbers and hairdressers. Then we also have four proposals which will be introduced in insurance. And those deal with insurer insolvency, insurance guarantee associations, health maintenance organizations, and agent broker licensing revisions. And I'll be glad to answer any questions about those pieces of legislation which we've committed to design. So that essentially runs through the brief overview of the department at this point.
Thank you. Chairman, for the record, I'd like to note that we've been joined by Representative Boucher. Questions by the members of the committee? Representative Collins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have about three. In looking at your information you submitted here, on page 7, the Department of Economic, the highlights of the operating budget request, you indicate there are five full-time positions. And on page 9, looking under protection of insurance consumers and adequate regulation of licensed occupations, the way I read that, that totals 9.5 million employees. Is it 5 or is it 9?
Well, there's a net. See, there's been some elimination of job positions simply because there were vacancies in the department that were never filled. So that this budget document accurately reflects what the net increase is going to be, which is, I believe, 7, as I remember.
So you're increasing by 7 positions. Mr. Chairman, if I may, when we heard Executive Order 74 the other day, I specifically asked whether or not there was going to be any decrease in staff or anything with regard to transferring that from one department to the other, and I was told that there would not be an increase in staff and that resources and staff would be transferred over. And it sounds to me like you said something different.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I stated, we're currently in the process of negotiating with the Department of Revenue on this. We don't think that there's going to be any net increase overall in terms of the program itself. However, the Department of Revenue had positions that they were allocating to this program that they're pulling out and using for their functions that they need. So I think in terms of the program itself, there's not going to be an increase technically.
I mean, but really, there's an increase.
There may be.
Yeah. And, Mr. Chairman, I have one more question. Now, what was the rationale for splitting the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council Division of Tourism? What was the rationale for splitting those two?
Mr. Chairman, the primary rationale is that the domestic tourism industry wanted to ensure continuation of their programs. while at the same time meeting some of the needs that have been voiced throughout the state in terms of expanding into other areas. For example, the independent tourism development and the highway tourism development, international tourism. Those are all agenda items that are not the agenda item of the present domestic tourism industry. So we felt that that split would also help in terms of the cooperation between the two agencies and driving and drawing the line between the two. In addition to that, the Division of Tourism deals with tourism development, which is why they're focused into these different areas, as opposed to the presently developed tourism industry. So they're really two different, very distinct roles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Ware.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your budget, what's the total general fund dollar request?
Well, the FY90 operating budget represents an increase of about $1.6 million, and most of that increase reflects an increase in federal receipts.
Yeah. What's the breakout? What is your federal and or in all others and then general fund of the 75?
If I may, Mr. Chairman,
I
also have with me our Director for Administrative Services as well as our Deputy Director, whom I should have introduced to the committee before, if I may. We have Jeff Bush as the new Deputy Commissioner and Kathy Marshall. And Kathy can answer some of the specifics on the budget.
Mr. Chairman, may I join you?
Yes, please do.
If you'll refer to page 6, you can see the breakout of general fund versus general fund program received federal funds and other fund resources.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, if you had to take a 10 or 15% reduction, have you walked through that scenario and prioritized your programs for reduction, and what kind of a prioritization have you given to the task?
Mr. Chairman, no, we haven't done that. I think at this point, when we've assessed where the various agencies are, any reductions at this point is going to involve reduction or elimination programs. And we didn't feel that we were in a position to singly make that kind of determination without working with the governor's office and the legislature. Mm-hmm. So we haven't made any kind of priority assessment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. Kelly, where's the big draw? What is the big increase in program receipts from FY87 revised to $10.9 million up to $20.4 million? Where is the big increase coming from? In which program?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think it's a combination of things. In FY87, we changed over the Division of Occupational Licensing from general fund to about 75%. Program receipt funding. We also changed the Division of Insurance to program receipt funding. We increased their authority to receive funds as well. As their budgets have increased, it just looks like a very high increase in program receipts.
Mr. Chairman, could I have the department give me a rundown of that, the differences and the changes, and cite which law that is, and then the differences in the program receipts in FY87 in that division, and then and break it down.
Per did you want each division? What
yes,
composes
please.
This whole change?
Yes, please.
Representative Boyer? excuse me. Donnelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, does your budget lines here reflect, and the program receipts here reflect the Executive Order 74 being put into place, or are those without?
No, I don't think it doesn't reflect it, Mr. Chairman. We've got budget amendments that will be coming in.
Yeah, I think we're going to anticipate even a larger increase in program receipts.
Mr. I guess I have a general question, Commissioner. What type of instruction do you get from the governor's office in order to put the budget together originally? relates to increases or decreases.
In the very beginning?
Right.
Well, basically, each of the divisions would work on developing the programs. The only instruction we had at that particular point in time was to develop a maintenance level budget, focus in on your greatest needs in the agency and not increase them. And subsequently, of course, we've had instructions given the budget summit to deal with any issues involving the budget, either increases or decreases, jointly with the legislature and the governor's office.
What was the definition of a maintenance budget, I may ask?
No increase in funding over the past fiscal year.
Zero.
And any decisions on increases beyond that were made at the governor's office.
There's no cost of living factors or anything put in, you know, that would be considered a maintenance budget with these extra percentages cranked into it. This is exactly what a maintenance budget would be, this zero increase.
That's essentially the definition we use.
Senator Fakes?
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that's what the adjusted and the base means. I mean, they have cranked in cost of living increases and any salary increases or whatever. That's what that means. The difference. It's not if it was a straight maintenance budget, it would be exactly the same as last year, and they'd eat all those cranked in programs. But they haven't. They've adjusted that here. Isn't that right?
Yes, they adjusted by allowing us to take one half of the allowable merit increases and the health insurance, additional health insurance costs.
Well, that was the question, I guess.
So there
is an increase percentage-wise, which would be still considered a maintenance budget. Representative Collins?
Thank you. Given all of the information that's certainly been in all the papers, and certainly you all are aware, did you ever even think trying to provide the services you're supposed to provide, you know, reduce dollars, even give it a shot?
Now, Mr. Chairman, what I've found since I've come into this position and also working in front of the division and observing what all the other divisions are doing, I think it's a fair statement to say that everyone in the department, all the agencies, have had funds cut with no cuts in their statutory authority. And consequently, they're all, in my estimation, highly stressed in terms of overwork. They're running just to keep up with current load that they've got. So I don't think that it didn't seem practical at that time to start looking at where we can create more efficiency. I think we've created as much as we can at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the legislature doesn't fund the, I think the number is somewhere around $17.5 million in this health and welfare benefits increase, if we chose not to fund that, how would that affect your department at this point? How many, you know, what would it do? Can you give me a scenario of what it would mean for your particular department?
Mr. Chairman, I think that reflects a 3% shortfall in personal services. And so it would probably continue to impair delivery of services in the department.
What is your current vacancy factor?
Each division's vacancy factor is calculated separately in the overall department vacancy factor, but we have very few positions vacant. We were just recently asked to go through an exercise for the Office of Management and Budget, and I think department-wide we had 4 vacancies, all of which were going to be filled in the near future. There, the few positions that we did identify that had been vacant for any period of time, we eliminated in this budget.
Thank you. Senator Fakes?
But Kelly, did you crank in a vacancy factor for FY90 in your budget?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, it varies from division to division.
What's the overall percentage? Usually the department has an overall. Does Mr. Lindbeck have that as your, I'm assuming he's your OMB scribe? Mm-hmm. What's the vacancy factor, John?
I don't have the percentage. I can figure out real quickly because I've got the numbers.
That's what you
It depends on the number of staff you have. If you have a very small number of staff, you don't calculate a vacancy factor. If you have a large number of staff, it increases. So it really represents a shortfall to the department, that vacancy factor.
Forgot to welcome John into the bureaucracy.
Pays a lot better.
I think I'd rather have him in the bureaucracy than in the pressure.
I suspect somebody else figured that too. Do you have someone from the Division of Insurance here? Or should we deal with that?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Report.
We probably can answer some of the general questions, and if you have other questions, we can bring in the director or refer questions to him.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this is not a confirmation hearing on your own ascension. Congratulations. Number one, are there any organizational changes other than what you've described already that are represented in here? And secondly, do you anticipate making any more organizational changes? Not personnel, I don't mean the individual, but I mean the way that things are organized.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, I think there's definitely been some changes in terms of style of operating within the department itself. I have focused a great deal on trying to refine the lines of communication between division directors and the line staff and the commissioner's office, and to increase the activity of the commissioner's office and the various boards and councils that it's been assigned to. I think at that reflects the major changes. I have not made any major changes in terms of personnel at this point. I think we've got a good seasoned staff.
No, what I mean is, have you made any specific changes in the way the thing is organized? Do you anticipate making any other, rather than just changing personnel or whatever? I'm not interested in that, but the way the thing's set up.
As I said, I think that the major changes is in terms of the information and communication flow between line agencies and divisions and the commissioner's office. One of the things that we did fairly recently was go through a planning process for what we're going to target as priorities over the next 2 years with all line agency directors and division directors. And to get the people more involved in working in terms of developing the targets for the department over the next 2 years. I think from my standpoint, one of the priorities, and this is after discussion with all our people, is going to be moving forward strongly in economic development initiatives guided by the private sector.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, this is the first time I've sat on this committee, but I see there are some differences between the way this particular department is organized and the way some other departments are organized. For example, administrative services in some departments has its own division. Why doesn't it in your department? What do you think? Do you think it's better to have it in its own division or not, and why?
Well, we've got, in terms of administrative support, probably, I think when we assessed this compared to other departments, we found that our administrative services section is probably the smallest per capita in terms of the types of agency, the number of budgets that it has to deal with, the 17 BRUs. We have intentionally split out the budget request unit, which was singular for both the division and the commissioner's office, into two BRUs so that we can have more accountability in terms of how much is expended for what. So it did break that out. I feel that the way it's set up now is working very well, despite the fact that we've got a small staff given the purview.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, looking at your organization chart on page 5, I see you have both a deputy commissioner and an assistant commissioner. What is the difference between the two? It's difficult to, it looks like two of these areas, business development and business and economic development projects, are under the joint responsibility of the deputy and the assistant commissioner, but the remainder are directly under the deputy commissioner. Why did you establish, is that the way it's traditionally been established in the department, or is that something you've done? And what do you, what are your comments about that? It's kind of an unusual arrangement.
Yeah, this isn't, this organizational chart was adopted last year, and the reason for the split in terms of the roles and duties, the deputy commissioner deals primarily with the administrative and regulatory side of the department. In fact, that consumes most of his time. And I need someone working with me on the economic development side and outreach to communities. That's another, what I would see as an increased focus of our department following the governor's mandate, that we don't take initiatives at the state without the active commitment, local commitment initiative in the communities. And so the outreach to the communities and finding out what they need or want and what they're doing is going to be the role and function of that particular position, the Assistant Commissioner for Economic Development.
In the past, there have been two deputy commissioners, haven't there?
I'm not sure. I believe there was several years ago, but I know that when I first came in 2 years ago, there was one.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fakes?
Just to help with the history of this, there were two deputy commissioners. In the last 2 years of the previous administration, when we did undergo, the University of Alaska and a couple of select departments did undergo a decrease in their budgets. This is one of the departments that did, and it was totally reorganized from the first 2 years of the Sheffield administration to the second 2 years of Sheffield administration. They were not granted the funding to maintain the status of two deputy commissioners, so they came up with this. There's less money involved here, and yet the work, they had to change the organizational chart based on the budget reductions they had.
Commissioner, I'm reading this audit report on the Division of Insurance, and obviously that's one of the stress departments, one of the stress divisions, to the point that they haven't been able to perform their duties as required by statutes. And I see some recommendations here which I assume are being in the process. I suspect some of this legislation is being introduced in February will accommodate those concerns. And I also notice I don't see an audit on the banking, securities, and corporations. I assume that their workload has been considerably heightened in the last couple of years. And are they in the same type of a stress situation, or are they different?
No, they are different, Mr. Chairman. I mean, there is going to be some requests in the budget for that particular division, particularly dealing with investigations. And there's no question that the workload has increased, mainly due to the bank failures and our efforts to try to rehabilitate problem banks. But so far, it's been manageable.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Boucher.
I, through the chair, I've watched with interest this handling of the Division of Tourism. And I gather that your major effort in listening to a couple of hours of presentation, and I may have missed a point here, to see what we can do to beef things up because of the overflights. Is that correct?
That's what's correct, Mr. Chairman. There'll be an increased effort at particularly the seat allocations from Japan, the opening up of tourism development in Korea.
Have you been working close for Senator, or for the chair, have you been working close for Senator Murkowski's office?
Mr. Chairman.
And on there specifically regard seat allocations?
And Mr. Chairman, we provide information to all the congressional offices, and they do likewise. And we also have created an interagency policy group to help address the strategies of how to open up more seats. And, of course, we share that information with anyone that can help, including Secretary Council.
Through the chair, practically, how are you going to open up more seats?
Mr. Chairman, we have got a group called the Bilateral Committee, and that Bilateral Committee deals with any areas where foreign flights would come into Alaska or may come into Alaska. And this committee has met several times already. We have worked specifically, we are working with the State Department in trying, for example, to get more concessions in terms of port of entry and anchorage with Japan. And those negotiations are ongoing at this point with the State Department. So that's one particular area. Another area that we have been working on is examining with the carriers and Canada the possibilities of opening up new routes into Alaska because of the frequency of travel that's now being justified not only by tourism development but also by the mineral development that's occurring around those borders.
Through the chair, how much is that going to cost, this effort?
The international, Mr. Chairman, the international tourism development. One of the things that I have done intentionally is that the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council is a storehouse of private sector knowledge and experience, and they're on the front lines of the business. And I don't want the department to get too far out ahead in making decisions about how they should be able to develop this without input from that private sector. A couple of things. One is that we've been working with British Columbia and the Yukon in developing what is referred to as Project 92, which is a highway road promotion project. And that may be the start of a new cooperative effort with these other two governments to develop what is called Tourism North. And that is that a tripartite effort to expand the highway road traffic as well as other independent travelers coming through those countries to Alaska. Now, we haven't put any particular dollar figures to that yet. We're currently in negotiations with the governments in terms of what those costs will be, but we're hoping to find mechanisms outside of this immediate budget to try to do that.
Representative Lee?
Just if I may, I heard when the presentation through the chair, did I hear the figure $5 million? Was discussed when the presentation was made up in Senate Finance.
All right, Mr. Chairman, for international tourism. Mm-hmm. If I may, I'd like to refer to Kathy Bemo.
I know the Division of Tourism's overseas marketing budget for FY90 is just a tad over $1 million, and that includes their everything for Europe and for Japan, and then some market development, for example, in Korea.
Brad, look at page 8.
Okay.
See the two components of tourism. It can't be more than three.
This is separate.
Well, I still have got a lot more questions, not so much on the dollar makeup, but the reality of what they're attempting to do. I don't think it's that
new.
But, that's...
I need to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Representative Lee?
I'd like to follow up on that, if I might, through the chair, because I attended the same meeting and I heard the $5 million figure, and I just want to know where that shows up in here in this budget, or does it not?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe it was shown in this budget that if there is a $5 million federal funding under there, I'm not aware of it.
With the domestic marketing budget, we do have quite a substantial amount of money in the cooperative marketing, domestic marketing that Alaska Marketing Council is here. That is not for overseas marketing.
That's true, Mr. Chairman. That's a budget of a little in excess of $7 million, of which 15% comes from private industry contributions, and that deals specifically with generic tourism marketing, domestic marketing.
Okay. I have a second question. If I understood correctly on the Executive Order 74 and the transfer of the games of skill and chance, when I sat in here on the committee hearing, I think each of us there on the House side remember hearing that there would be no increase, no decrease in straight across transfer. I understood it to be a transfer, essentially straight across transfer personnel. And now I understand that it's not quite that. Can you answer the same question regarding business license? That function from revenue to DCED, is that a straight cross transfer? Is that a net increase and net decrease?
Mr. Chairman, that I believe was a decrease when it transferred over business licensing functions. They didn't transfer other support personnel, like administrative support personnel, to this that they had in business licensing and revenue. In fact, when this program was first transferred, we only had one person in the Anchorage office to deal with 25,000 walk-ins. When we first went through this renewal process a few months ago, and the division had to contract out for additional support or part-time support.
My point is, when we make these transfers, are we seeing a net improvement to the state, or are we increasing the overall efficiency of state government and decreasing the overall costs? Or if not, what are the reasons for these switches and changes that we made?
Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, Department of Revenue wants to relieve itself of any functions that are not immediately dealing with revenue, and more the proper purview of, say, the Department of Commerce, which is why we chose to take it over. Also, with regard to games of skills and chance, I've had our administrative director negotiate with the Department of Revenue on the exact personnel change budget items, so if I may, to refer some of your questions to Colonel.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can shed some light both on business licensing and games of chance and skill. There is no increase in terms of the state budget. There is literally a transfer from one department to another. There's no increase. The problem was with the Department of Revenue, they did not have a distinct budget for either of these functions. So what they are having to do is decide, well, now how many people actually work on this? How much are our real costs for contracting and that sort of thing? And then when they decided how much they thought they really had in it, they transferred that amount to us for business licensing. We felt that that was somewhat inadequate, and it was not necessarily their fault, because they had positions that were working both for the permanent fund and on business licensing, and so when business licensing were renewed, all the permanent fund staff would come work on that function. So they couldn't distinguish real carefully, you know, exactly how much it was. This time we're doing a little more in-depth analysis and trying to get a little better handle on exactly how much, how many staff are really working on the games of chance and skill. Does that clarify it a little? But there is no increase in the budget.
If I might just make a comment, you've given me an avenue to follow up on later.
Chairman Donnelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding of what we've got here under tourism is last year the budget that I think when the first time specified that a certain amount of the money that I think shows up now is $3,207,000 would be towards international marketing targeted at. From your testimony here, you're following through with the same amounts that were designated last year and in this coming year. So that there was an independent proposal was the presentation we all went to last week, I think it was, that they felt that
part of the 3.2 million here should be about $5 million. There's about a million instead of 5 million in that 3.2 towards international marketing. The 7.9 is the domestic advertising budget. And does that clear that up? I think that's what we've got going on here.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And as far as the official position with regard to, you know, any figures about bumping up that particular amount, I think in reviewing our internal priorities, the priorities were set correctly as presented by the governor's budget.
The other question I had is, I've been trying to understand the difference between program receipts for the Division of Insurance and the premium tax. And how are those dichotomized in the budget?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the premium tax is also included in the program receipt figure. Is that right?
No, it's general fund.
It all goes directly to the general fund. The program receipts that the division operates on are generated from other sources like licensing fees.
Okay. So none of the premium tax goes into as program receipts for the division?
It's in excess of $20 million.
Right. That's good. Now, the program receipts, I'm trying to remember how the statute set out the justification for the premium tax, for one thing, versus the program receipts. And I know that at some point in there, they're supposed to be relative to what the state spends on the Division of Insurance for the regulation of the industry. Could you explain that to me a little better?
I think that's correct, Mr. Chairman. You, statutorily, you really can't charge, or you should be charging, what the actual costs are. And so when you staff up, as I had mentioned in the budget for occupational insurance, basically what we're asking for is an increase in authority to collect these program receipts in order to fill these positions. And in premiums, for example, there's about $11 billion of premiums that go essentially out of the state. And premium taxes are one of the few ways that the state can recover some money from this industry.
Thank you. Senator Biggs?
It's been my experience. What's the vacancy factor, John?
It's 3.1%.
It's been my experience in Finance Committee that one of the little gigs for the competition between the executive branch and the legislative branch in budget time are these transfers of responsibilities. And what Fish and Game is going to try to do, or excuse me, what Revenue is going to try to do is stick the Department of Commerce with fewer people than they need to do this job so that next year Commerce comes to us and says, God, we got this function from Revenue and we don't have enough people. Revenue will stash away a couple of extra people and get to fill in some other departments. It's up to the finance committees to figure that out, and usually they do. You know, the finance committees figure this out and they will dock Revenue X number of people, give them to Commerce if Commerce and Revenue can't work it out between themselves. But what'll happen is if he gets stuck, you'll see him next year asking for people in this particular BRU.
When I met with Commissioner Malone, I told him that one of the conditions of the transfer is that our people agreed to the amount of money in the budget. That's exactly what we have.
Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's the rationale behind premium tax again?
So again, as I stated, there are $11 billion of premium that essentially goes out of state, and the Division of Insurance has got a lot of regulatory, licensing, monitoring types of functions, and plus the industries themselves benefits from being in the state and access to all the state services, programs, etc. And so this is one way for the state to recover something that these companies are benefiting from.
The issue with my coming, Mr. Chairman, of uncompensated care, we used to fund a lot of uncompensated care, hospital care anyway, through a catastrophic health care funding. I mean, it was as high, I think, at one point as around $20 million. One way some states deal with their uncompensated care issue for hospitals and long-term care facilities is through increases in or of the premium tax. And I'm kind of looking at that whole issue and wondering, looking for ways of funding that uncompensated care outside of the general fund budget. If you're saying that all the premium tax now, and I understood it to be around $20 million, now goes to the general fund, might you think about, or have your insurance people start thinking about the premium taxes specifically as a way to offset the cost of uncompensated care, which is generally in the neighborhood of $15 to $25 million a year?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I've had our deputy commissioner dealing particularly with the insurance issues. And
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ware, I think I should probably start at the beginning. Premium tax, the rationale behind the premium tax is that that is the only tax that insurance companies pay in Alaska. They are exempt from state income tax, corporate income tax, and any other state taxes. So the premium tax is sort of in lieu of that. What you're speaking about is actually in other states, premium tax is used, at least in part, as a program receipt that goes to regulation of the insurance industry. And they frequently in other states have a full department or commission for insurance regulation. We don't have anything of that structure here. In Alaska, our insurance division is primarily funded through program receipts, through fees and licensing, and then in part funded through the general fund. And then all the premium tax goes like any other tax to the general fund. As far as exploring increases in the premium tax to cover new and different ideas such as the one you're putting forth, that has never, as far as I know, been actually explored. I know we have looked at increasing over the past 2 years. The discussion of the premium tax rate has been in the legislature each year, and I know it's always an issue, and discussion on how to use that increase. I think, in fact, there was a bill last year to increase the premium tax to cover the fire marshal's office, I believe. So it's been discussed as an option, as a way of funding things that do affect the insurance industry, but it's not being sponsored by the administration at this time.
Mr. Chairman, just not having ever been involved with any of those discussions, I would guess, though, that the industry as a whole is pretty aggressively set against those kinds of increases and probably has a healthy lobby around that.
I think it's safe to say that any tax increase for a particular industry group does bring out the lobbyists in that particular industry, and it did at this point.
Well, the specter of the closure of some co-located hospital long-term care facilities in the state could perhaps generate enough interest and pit that industry against the insurance industry in an interesting way. Just an observation.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For a number of years, you and I have discussed revising our presently unconstitutional takeover bid disclosure act. What are your plans this year? Will you look at it again?
Chair, Representative Grunberg, that is not one of the department's bills at the present time or the administration's bills.
I noticed its glaring absence.
If it were introduced, the administration would support it once again, as we have every time it's been tried in the past.
Well, we've never, since I've been around, we've never gotten as far as to introduce anything except a simple repealer, which would leave a giant vacuum. I'm wondering, seriously, whether the administration is going to look at that this year and put something constitutional in effect on the books.
Mr. Chairman, at the moment they are not looking at that particular issue. As Representative Grunberg knows, we started to work on a bill last year, a comprehensive bill modeled after, I believe, Maryland, or maybe it was Indiana. There were a couple of states that have adopted ones that are constitutional. And using their model, but because of the native corporations in Alaska, it's somewhat more confusing up here, and so it would take some pretty comprehensive drafting, and at the moment the administration is not doing that. On the other hand, we'd be happy to help and assist if that sort of a bill is, or if that sort of an effort is going to be attempted by the legislature, and I would offer my services and Larry Carroll's as well.
Thank you. Probably take you, Chairman, so inclined.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Chair, I have a couple of questions. One, there's a statement on the audit on, and it indicates that there are present in the Division of Insurance is handling two domestic insolvencies. One of them is Packman, and the other one, I'm kind of insurance that they were.
I believe the other one is Delta Dental.
All right, and then how close is that to being determined?
Delta Dental.
How close is it to
through the chair, my understanding is Delta Dental is almost completed. It was,
I
believe, I don't know the details of it, but I believe a plan was worked out in which the Delta Dental business was actually absorbed by another company, so that there was no loss to policyholders.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I have one more question. And also on the audit, there's a recommendation that the Division of Insurance develop the necessary guidelines to adequately monitor the trade practices of insurance industry's performance of market conduct examinations. And I see that you note here that one has been completed on Alaska, on State Farm, and one on Alaska National. Are these audits that are occurring as a result of complaints of consumers or shifting financial,
what
is the reason for doing
this?
Are they just random?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, essentially they're just more of a, we directed the division to be more aggressive in terms of their review to monitor these trade practices. And so what we've done so far is to begin that limited market conduct examination of State Farm companies. And in addition, we have also been involved in review of some six surplus lines brokers and also the Alaska National Insurance Company. So I think it's not particularly being targeted. However, during this particular time, we're finding nationwide that there are more insurer insolvencies and irregularities that are occurring in this industry, that we've got to be more aggressive in this area.
Thank you.
Any further questions by the committee?
Let me try one. Last year we increased the Division of Insurance's budget up closer to the program receipts amount. How close are we to that level now in this new budget?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that what we're proposing this budget, of course, would be 100% covered by program receipts and fees that it collects, but beyond that, I guess I defer to Kat.
I'm not certain exactly. Did you want to know how much is program receipt funded?
Well, the total, I want to know the budget for Division of Insurance versus their program receipts, projected program receipts.
I'm not absolutely positive of the increase. They're totally program receipt funded.
Right.
And they're asking for additional authority. I do believe that a portion of that they will need to raise fees in order to capture. They are generating more program receipts than they are currently spending due to penalty fees and a number of other things, but exactly how much I'm not sure.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I might point out those increase in fees would be basically aimed at foreign companies, not domestic.
That's something I'm interested in exploring on the subcommittee, budget subcommittee also.
We did our best last year to relieve some of the pressure on the insurance division over there, but I guess putting it back on again this year.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think in reviewing the audit, OMB audit, you can see that there are a lot of areas that were deficient, and we have made real concerted effort to take care of those deficiencies, both in legislation and in terms of what the division is now doing. I think that you'll see that we've been extremely responsive to that OMB audit.
Very good. We certainly appreciate not reading about the Department of Commerce and Economic Development in the paper the last couple months.
We try to keep a lid on the fires. And we've got a good team to do it, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Me? Thank you, Commissioner.
Don't let revenue stick you now.
And, Mr. Chairman, you have anything further?
No, Mr. Chairman.
I certainly appreciate the joint meetings. I think that it's a benefit to both committees. We are at least hearing the same information, and we could probably work together a little better, more efficiently. We're looking forward to meeting with you again at some future date.